Thanks so much for joining us today. We'd love to know how much this ministry is touching your life. Please take a moment and email us your story at stories@transformationchurch.net. Also, if you would like to help support this ministry financially, you can do so by visiting us at transformationchurch.net, clicking on the Giving tab, and choosing the giving option that best works for you. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you enjoy today's message.
So if you're just joining us today, we're in a part two of the message series called Joshua. I really felt that God interrupted me in my sermon series flow because I had a different series planned as we came back to church together physically. And the Lord said, no, I want you to continue teaching and preaching about the nation of Israel as we started in our new normal series a few months ago. And so if you just join us today, maybe you've never been to our church, maybe you've never saw us online or saw one of those messages, you can watch our messages either via our app or through our website. I spent about 5 weeks talking about the nation of Israel. And what we were looking at is the great deliverance of Israel, beginning in the book of Exodus. God had a dream for Israel. God had a dream, he had a plan, and a purpose for their lives. And that purpose and that plan was to lead Israel to their own nation or their own promised land, we'll call it. God had a promised land for his people, a land that the Old Testament describes as a place of milk and honey. In other words, a place of abundance, a place of overflow, a place of physical and spiritual blessing. God had a physical and spiritual blessing for Israel. However, they found themselves in bondage to slavery to the nation of Israel the nation of Egypt for over 400 years. Slavery, hard work, no freedom, no days off, no worship, no connection with God. Every day of their lives, they served Pharaoh. They served Egypt. However, God heard their cry, and God raised up a deliverer called Moses who would deliver them from bondage. Just want you to imagine Israel. Imagine the children of Israel. They had received a promise from Genesis chapter 12. God spoke to Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless the nations of the world through you. You will be a blessing. God gave them a covenant promise in Genesis chapter 12. Now imagine the children of Israel who knew the scriptures, who knew the promise. Imagine what they were thinking when they were in slavery. Imagine the long days, the long weeks. Perhaps they thought that God's dream for them had died. Perhaps they thought that God's plan and God's purpose for their life was dead. That God had forgotten them. That they would spend the rest of their lives in slavery. That they would spend the rest of their future serving Pharaoh. However, how many know that God is faithful and he's true to his promises? How many know that God, it's impossible for God to lie, and it is impossible for God to be faithless? He is faithful. Faithfulness is not something that he does. Faithfulness is who he is. Regardless of the circumstances, God's dream for Israel was not dead. I wonder how many here today are wondering if God's dream for your life is dead. I wonder how many here today are wondering how much longer are we going to get, or how much longer is this going to last, God, or how much longer am I going to struggle with this addiction, or how much longer am I going to struggle with fear, or how much longer am I going to struggle with insomnia, or how much longer am I going to be going through this trial, this trouble, this difficulty? God, have you forgotten me? I wonder how many people have ever said, God, have you forgotten me? Is your promise for me? Is the dream you have for my life dead? Because the truth is, God had a dream for Israel, and God has a dream for you. God has a dream for me. God has a dream for your life. God has a purpose for your life. And COVID, and I came to tell you this, that COVID-19 has not canceled God's purpose over your life. Came to tell you that COVID-19 has not canceled God's destiny, God's dream, God's purpose, God's plan, God's promises over your life and over our lives and over this house. God has a plan for this church, and God has a plan for you. Scriptures tell us that no weapon that's forged against you will prosper. We may go through some struggles, and we may go through some battles, and we will be engaged in warfare, and we will experience setbacks, and we will experience disappointments, and we might just experience sickness, but nothing can remove you out of God's plan or destiny for your life. God has a plan. God has a purpose. And God has a great future for you. God has a great future for us. And I just wanted to tell you today that God has not stopped working in your life. When the governor hit the pause button over New York State, God did not hit the pause button over your life. God has not stopped working. Just because you don't see him working doesn't mean he's not working. Just because you don't feel he's working doesn't mean he's not working. And what God needed to do for Israel is the same that he's doing to us. And what God had to do for Israel is, because God had a plan for their lives, God had to deliver them from slavery. But that deliverance took time. And it was a struggle. And God delivered them. They had to cross the Red Sea. Then they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years before they would actually inherit the promised land. They had to go through a process. They had to go through some challenges. They had to go through some difficulties before they were prepared for what God has had for them. However, all of the trials and the challenges that Israel experienced was preparation to move them into their purpose. I wonder how many in this room today and watching online are going through some trials. I wonder how many are facing some troubles. I wonder how many have been going through the ringer. I wonder how many are in what I call the COVID coma. See, what many people don't realize is that there's a spiritual connection to the virus. And it's what's tied to the virus is fear. Fear is a spirit. And any place where we open up our hearts to fear, the spirit of fear, we give the spirit of fear an opportunity to enter into our lives and create strongholds. What are strongholds? Certain ways of thinking. It's a place in our minds where the enemy has a stronghold of fear. Now, I'm not saying there's good fear and there's bad fear. Good fear is like, this is good fear. I'm just going to fall backwards and hope someone catches me. No, I'm not doing that because I'm smart. I have good fear. Okay? But then there's a bad fear which paralyzes us and hinders us from becoming who God wants us to become, from moving into the things God wants us to move into, and to move forward with our lives. You see, fear paralyzes us, but faith propels us. And what we have to be so mindful of is that so many of us are living with a spirit of fear. You see, the virus you need to fear, you have to have the good fear. I don't like to talk about COVID, but what else is there to talk about? You know what I'm saying? Like, the good fear is COVID, but the bad fear, the bad virus to worry about more than the COVID virus is the virus of fear, which paralyzes us. and keeps us in what I believe a fog. You ever, has anybody struggled with like feeling like you're in a fog? Did anybody wake up today and wonder what day of the week it was? Or was I the only one? Honest to God, I woke up, I didn't know what day of the week it was. I'm like, oh no, it's Sunday. I got to go to church. What happens is that sometimes we find ourselves in a fog, and the fog paralyzes us, and we think that this is it. That there's nothing more. That God is done. And that we're done. And this is our future. And this is what we have to deal with. And so we go into this hibernation mode. And we just pull back from everything and everyone. I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about social distancing from God and social distancing from his purposes. I'm talking about distancing from even believing that God has a good future for us. I want you to think about the people in the 1900s who were facing the Spanish flu virus. They had no online church. 10 times, I don't even know the statistic, but many more people died. Like a lot. But yet, God brought people through it. He brought our nation through it. And yet we thrived. Right? We're going to get through this. Do you believe that? This is not the end. This is only the beginning. But you know what this is doing? It's preparing you and me for what God has for us next. Let me explain. Isaiah 43 is not part of my notes. I feel this word has been given to me for you. So I pray that you have ears to hear what God is saying. Isaiah 43, it's not part of my notes. This is what God has put on my heart. The Lord has confirmed this to my wife and I several times, even this past week alone. And this is what God says in Isaiah 43. Verse 16. Now, God is speaking to Isaiah. He's talking to Israel, and he's reminding them of what he did in the past. Okay? Everyone still with me? Online? Present in the house? Yes? All right. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea. You guys know what he's talking about, right? Israel. Being delivered from Egypt. They hit the Red Sea. What did God do? God spoke to Moses and said, extend your staff, the sea will part. They walked on dry ground. This is what he says. This is what the Lord says, he who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. Then afterwards, Pharaoh came with his chariots after Israel because he's like, what the heck did I do? So he goes after, and so the nation of Israel crosses the Red Sea, and now the chariots are all crossing the Red Sea also. But this is what he said. This is what the Lord says. He who made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there never to rise again. I love that. The enemy that's after you will eventually be an enemy that will never rise again in your life. Come on now. Once the enemy is defeated, whether it be the enemy of addiction, whatever that enemy is that you're facing here today, God will deliver you from that enemy, and that enemy will never rise again. He says, as they lay there, never to rise again. I love this. Extinguished. Snuffed. When I grew up in the 90s, I'm like, I'm going to snuff you. How many remember that? I'm going to snuff you. Young people don't know. Young people don't know those words. Word? Word up? How many people out there know what I'm talking about? Word? Shh. Those days were fresh. Right now, in my head, I'm like, battling. Do I keep preaching or do I work this joke? I don't know. But it's F-R-E-S-H. Fresh, fresh, fresh. Yo, I'm fresh. I'm so fresh, I don't have to rehearse. I'll even rap to you in reverse. Anyway, let's keep going. So I love having people in church. It's so great. These jokes never work when the room is empty. All right, let's keep going. He said, forget, he says, lay there, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. Just snuffed. But then he says this, ready? Verse 18, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. I wonder how many today can see that God is doing a new thing in our country. I wonder how many can see that God is doing a new thing in our world. You see, what we need are not just physical eyes. We need eyes that discern, that can see the things happening in the spirit. Anybody can tell you what's happening in the world today. But there are only a very few people that can actually see what God is doing in the world today. And I just want to tell you today that as I put on my spiritual glasses, when I take my glasses off, it's a mess. It's just chaos. Everyone's blurry right now, but it's a mess. The world's a mess. But when I put my discernment glasses on, I see God is doing a new thing in our lives. I wonder how many can see the new thing God is doing. I wonder how many have eyes to see what the Spirit of God is doing. Because God has not stopped working. God has not stopped moving. God has not stopped transforming. God has been busy. How many know that? God has been busy during this pandemic. There's a lot more people calling on him these days, right? How many know that? He's like, I got a lot of work to do. He ain't got time to sleep. He's running around answering calls, answering people's requests. God, I need help. And he's like, yep, I'm there. God's been moving. But he says, see, I am doing a new thing. And he says, now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Notice. Perception, perceive. I'm doing a new thing. Can you see it? This is God speaking to Isaiah. Can you see it? Can you see the new thing? Take a moment. Take your eyes off of the things happening in this world for a moment and place them on the things that you think God is doing. Because how many would agree today? You don't have to raise your hand, but how many would say that prior to March 13th, I could have used a break. Prior to March 13th, I was tired. Prior to March 13th, I was burnt out. Prior to March 13th, I don't know about my relationship with God. Prior to 13th, I just couldn't keep going. For some of you, and I've spoken to some of you, this pandemic, although the death and all of the sickness hasn't been a blessing, the pause has been a blessing. Because you know what it's done? It's stripped us of our busyness. It's pulled things away from our lives. And it's allowed us to allow God to birth something new in us. You may not see it right now, or you may not perceive it, but according to Isaiah, he says, see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Okay, what does that mean? Well, whenever I the word spring up immediately connected me to the New Testament passage in which Jesus said this. Follow me now. Jesus said this. Out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. And as I read this, I immediately got to the connection in the New Testament. And this is what God, I feel, wants me to tell you, that the new thing that God is doing in your life is not external. It's not on the outside. The new thing that God is doing is on the inside. Come on now. Because when I look around this room and when I look at people online, I talk to people, you know what? You're getting stronger. You're growing. Your faith is getting stronger.
Your trust is getting strong. Come on now. You are not the same person you were on March 1st, 2020. How many would say that? I am not the same person I was on March 1st, 2020. I'm different. I'm changing. And sometimes we don't realize we're changing until we can take a moment to step back and look at our lives and say, yeah, I got through 4 months of no church, and I'm still a follower of Jesus, right? I'm still strong. I'm actually thriving in my relationship with God. I'm actually growing in my relationship with God. I actually took some time to slow down my life to pray to God. I actually found a time where I can connect with God. You see, you're growing. You're maturing. And this is what he says. The new thing I'm going to do is going to spring up. It says, I am making a way in the wilderness. Some of us think that when we get out of the wilderness, then God will do a new thing. No, he says, in the wilderness. I wonder how many are walking in the wilderness. It's in the wilderness in which he does the new thing. He also says, and streams in the wasteland. Some of us think, once I get out of this wasteland, once we get out of this thing, once we get through this thing, once we go back to normal, once I get my life back, once they have sports, then we'll feel normal. Then maybe I'll give God some opportunity to do something in my life. But God is saying, no, I am doing a new thing. I am making a way in the wilderness that you're in, and in the wasteland that you find yourself in, I am going to send a stream. Now, in the New Testament, streams is symbolic, and the Old Testament, streams is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. He says this, in your wasteland, in your desert experience, in your wilderness experience, get ready, because I'm going to send you a greater measure of my Spirit. But it's not externally, it's internally, in which is going to spring up from within your belly like a river of living water. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. How does God do new things? Well, first of all, God leads us into new through trials. Let me say it to you. God leads us into new through the tool of trials, troubles, adversity, challenges, difficulties, and pain. I hope I touched on everybody here today. Did I miss one? Those are the tools in which God uses to transform our lives. You see, we're all on one of two journeys. We're all either on a journey towards salvation. That was me years ago. When I was a teenager, I grew up in the church. I had to come to church. I didn't have a choice growing up. I remember I was drugged to church. You know what I mean, drugged to church. I've said it before. My parents drugged me to Sunday school. How many ever grew up going to church Sunday school? Anybody remember Sunday school? Young people, can you imagine going to a class for 1 hour before this service? Come on now. That was painful. That's what I had to go to Sunday school. Then we had church, and it wasn't like this. There was two older women right in this church. One played the organ and the other one played the piano very beautifully. But it was old school. Cling, 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 cling. Not like what we got now, young people. You guys are spoiled. You know what I'm saying? And I had to sit through 2 hours of that. And then, okay, that's cool. But I don't know if y'all remember Sunday night church. So imagine this. We're done with church and you got to come back for 6 o'clock service. Come on now. I had to go to church, and if I didn't, I was in trouble, and I hated it, and I hated church, and I hated coming to church, and because what did I like? I love partying instead of church. I love to party. I love to have fun, and I gave my parents so much problems. My son's here. Can you close your ears for this? I don't want you to change your view of me. I'm just I'm sorry, don't party. I love to party when I was a young person. He's such a good kid. I love my son. He's such a great kid. But I was not him. I gave my parents such a hard time. And I was running from God. And I forgot my other son's on the camera. Don't use this against me, son. Please. Don't use this against me. But I loved, basically, my partying was my escape from God. Until one day, God grabbed a hold of my heart. And I was in a wrestling match with God. So all I can say, God grabbed a hold of my heart, and I surrendered control of my life to Jesus. And at that moment in time, my journey to salvation ended. And then my transformation journey began. And if you've received, if you haven't received Christ, you're on a journey of salvation. And some of you have a beautiful story. You'll have a beautiful story. Or maybe you're far from God, or maybe you've experienced some tough things. God wants you to come to Him and receive forgiveness. But once you receive that forgiveness, you don't die. Why? Because God has a plan. God has a plan. See, if salvation was the end all of life, because some people say, I got to go to church, or I got to give my life to Christ so I don't go to hell. If that was the case, which is true, you don't want to go there, but if that's the case, then you would come to Jesus and you would die. And Sunday mornings will look a lot different than they do right now. Imagine this. If you want to receive your Christ, if you want to receive Christ as your Savior, once you get out of your seat, come to this altar to die. How many would die? How many would be willing to die? That's not the case. When you give your life to Christ, you're still alive. And if you're still alive, it's because God has a purpose for your life. God has a plan for your life. God has a dream for your life. God has a destiny for you to fulfill. And in order for you to get to fulfill that destiny, you're going to go through some problems and some pain and difficulties, because that is the tool of transformation. And right now, we are all in this trial because God is preparing us for what He has next. I wonder how many believe. I wonder how many believe that God is transforming us. I wonder how many believe that God has great things in store. I wonder how many believe. I wonder how many are just believe that this is not the end, that God has more. You see, it's in the trials that God does His deepest work of transformation. It's in the trials. You know what God has been doing? You have not seen this. God has been doing inner surgery in your life. Inwardly. He's been working deep in your life. Why? He's preparing you. He's preparing us. He's preparing us for what He has for us. You see, 1 Peter 1:7, we're going to wrap this up in just a moment. I'm going to ask Dave to come up. 1 Peter 1:7 says this: these trials will show that your faith is genuine, right? It is being what? What does it say? It is being what? Tested as fire purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through what? Many trials, what will it do? Bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ revealed to the whole world. What is the scripture telling us? That God is working through trials to refine you and to purify you and to prepare you for what God has for you. That's what's going on right now. That's what He's saying. He's saying, get ready, because I'm about to do something new. Get ready. Prepare yourself. I am at work. I am changing you, because I have something next for you. So real quick, as we wrap up this Joshua chapter 1, God speaks, Moses dies, and in Moses' death, everyone believed that the dream was dead, but God's dream for Israel wasn't dead just because a man died. Moses is considered one of the greatest leaders in the Old Testament Bible. Yet, God's dream did not die with Moses. God had a plan through Joshua. And in Joshua chapter 1 says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now all these people get ready to cross the Jordan into the land I'm about to give them. So Joshua ordered the officers, go through the camp, get everything ready, because 3 days from now, we're going to take possession of the land. And then Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, he says this, Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. That's why I came today. And that's why you came today. And that's why you're watching today. To hear this word. Get ready. Consecrate yourself. Prepare yourself. Get ready. Because tomorrow, in the future, tomorrow is very near future, right? This is what God, I felt, wants me to get ready. Because in the very near future, God is going to do amazing things. Amazing things. Get ready. Get ready. God is about to do amazing things. You may not feel it. You may not see it. But we will get through this. And when we come out of it, we're going to say with all the people around the Christ followers around the world, amazing grace by amazing God who's done amazing things. God is going to do something amazing. After walking 40 years in the wilderness, they get to this crossroads. And Joshua finally issues the decree to get themselves ready. And I'm here to tell you to get ready. Get ready. We're about to cross the Jordan. Get ready. We're about to move into the promised land. Get ready. We're about to cross over. How many want to cross over into what God has prepared? Yes? You want to cross? There was a crossover. Get ready. Because we're about to, they weren't crossing over yet. They said to get ready. Because they were going to cross over. But only those who believe. I leave you with this. So how do we get from where we are to where God wants us to be? Simply this. Believe. And I leave you with this one point today. Believe that your best is yet to come. I wonder how many believe that today. And if you don't, it's okay. Say, Lord, give me faith to believe. Help my unbelief. Because I'm a human being, and I've struggled with my faith, but recently the Lord has been depositing faith in my soul. He's telling me, get the church ready. Get the church ready. Get the people ready. Because I'm about to do amazing things. The best is yet to come. This is not the end. We are not going to die in this wilderness. We ain't going to die in this valley. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to cross the Jordan and take possession of what God promised me. I know the vision he gave me for this church, and I know the vision he gave me for your life, and we ain't get there yet. The new thing God is doing is inwardly. And this is the beautiful thing. Once God completes the work inwardly, guess what? It's seen outwardly. I pray you receive. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord Jesus, my prayer is that we would all receive.